Riley, this week I want to talk to you about something that is currently, unfortunately, close to my heart, which is home remedies.
Oh, is this because you're currently very, very unwell?
Oh, yeah, extraordinarily unwell. I think I have quite bad food poisoning.
And so you've made such a mistake in your illness of choice because you don't sound sick.
I know, right? No, I have. I think I have very bad food poisoning.
I was going to say, I don't think the listeners want to hear the noises that are associated
with
it.
No, there is an audio component for sure, but I'm sure I don't think it's something they're too interested in. No, I think I have very bad food poisoning, but I had quite a bad fever as a result. So maybe I have weird COVID. You know, COVID can give you stomach troubles now. We'll see. Tests are all negative so far.
You've had it twice. You've just got a bit of a taste for it now, don't you?
I mean, I just kind of like it. You know, I want to get that card punched five times to get a free case of mononucleosis at the end. You know, that's how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, you gotta get that. You don't want to leave value on the table. But Dennis told me
it's like when you go to Starbucks twice. You don't want to go to Costa once. After you might as well keep going to Starbucks. You get in the Starbucks.
Oh, all the different cards in your wallet. Is this the COVID one? Is this the, you know? Come on, you can't keep track of it. Dennis messaged me earlier, and he was like, "Can't record tonight or this morning. His time. Sorry, dude. Can we reschedule?" I'm like, "No dramas at all. That's fine." Then messaged me. Obviously, you don't have a full understanding of the time zones involved because he then messaged me at about 6:45 PM, being like, "Hey, you up?" I was like, yes.
Yes.
It's 6:45.
I was like, I have stabilized enough.
We found a window.
I could feel better tomorrow, but we should just do it now. Let's just do it now.
With a crisp temperature of 39.1 degrees. So
pretty high.
If that goes up any higher, I feel like your room is going to spontaneously combust and you need to go to the hospital. But
I told you I was sick, and then you were like, "Oh, that sucks." I was like, "Yeah, my fever's 39. You were like, "Wait, what? Excuse me, what?"
I didn't know how invested to get. Oh, I'm sick.
I understand.
Oh, you got a little cough. Oh, you got a little sore throat. Oh, my. Oh, 39 degrees. Okay, well, you're going to die if it gets much hotter. You'll boil your brain.
So I want to talk about home remedies for two reasons, Riley. One is we talked about on the podcast before a little bit about how your mother is a little bit hippy-dippy at times. Yes, so I thought there would be fertile ground for home remedies.
Well, you have made a very good guess there. Yes, yep.
And because my parents and my family are Eastern European, so there's fertile ground for weird home remedies there.
Ah, yes. They put a potato in a bottle of vodka and it becomes an ancient Croatian tradition, yes.
That is exactly true. I think I haven't told you about that.
No, what did you do? It was a pear. You put the pear in the vodka
I made that up. But genuinely, if you have a fever, what my father would recommend you do is you take a potato, slice it up, right? Slice up into sort of thin discs, right?
And then what? Put it in a bottle of vodka and feed
soak it in vodka.
And then, Dennis, if this involves giving this to a child, what are you talking about?
Soak it in vodka and then wrap it in a towel and put that towel on your forehead.
Why is the vodka important?
Pulls the fever out of you or something. Cleanses you.
It cleanses you by what? Making you too drunk off the fumes to realize that you're unwell?
I don't know. I'm going to find the proper definition for this because I always get it wrong. So my parents would often have rakia in the house, which is a fruit spirit. You usually make it from like plum. It's kind of like a brandy, right?
Okay. And not generally a fruit spirit in there's a small poltergeist that disrupts your fruit.
No, it's not an apple ghost. Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Okay.
And it's usually about 40-45% when you buy it in the shop, but if you make it at home, usually it's substantially higher. It's like 60% quite often, which is kind of the upper limit of safe to consume for humans. Put it this way. If my parents have rakia, they don't keep it in the liquor cabinet. They keep it under the sink with the cleaning supplies.
And this is, again, not a place where anything that's kept shouldn't then go inside your body.
Well, yeah, people drink shots of it. That's fine. But rakia is the be all and end all of Eastern European medicine.
It's the panacea. Scrape,
scrape your knee, put some rakia on it.
Okay.
I mean, you know, get a fever, dash some potatoes and some rakia, put them on your forehead. Vodka's fine too. All this kind of stuff.
Is it external use only? If you've got a tummy ache, do you drink rakia?
I'm sure you could, yeah. I would not be surprised about that at all. Yeah, it fixes everything. You said it's like panacea. What's panacea?
A panacea? A panacea is like a mythical cure-all.
Oh, it's not some weird Australian root that you use.
No, it's Greek. It's a Greek thing, the panacea, right? Or maybe Roman, Latin? I don't know.
There's a very large spider floating directly in front of my face.
Sure of that, Dennis? Or are you just hallucinating because you have a very, very high fever? Is the spider talking to you? Does it have sunglasses on? Is it smoking a cigarette?
Also, based on the fact you live in Australia, I'm sure you and I have very different definitions of large spider.
Yeah, I bet that spider could have very, very easily tap danced on a 10-cent coin.
Yeah. It's, oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, it was a house party. I've never heard of panacea. So a solution remedy for all difficulties. Yeah, that is our panacea.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In Ireland, that is a Rennie, generally.
What's a Rennie?
Do you guys have Rennie? A Rennie is an antacid tablet, like a chalk tablet.
No, we don't eat chalk in Australia. We're actually quite a developed country.
Well, I don't know about that. You know, like, what do you like a Tums or like a Pepto-Bismol?
I don't know what you're talking about, man. Pepsi? I've heard of Pepsi.
Antacid Tablet Australia. Come on, there has to be a name for these. Nexium.
I did learn this, like, when I was overseas and I asked for a Panadol, and they're like, I don't know what that is. That's paracetamol, but that's the brand name of it in Australia. That's the brand I thought that was the name of the drug. What's it called over here? The antacid or whatever you said?
Do you have Rennie's in Australia? I've Googled it.
Well, I don't know. I've never had. What is it? Antacid?
Yeah. Like, what do you take for heartburn?
Nothing. A deep breath. I don't know.
What are you? Okay. Well, now you're weird. This is definitely a thing people take. Anyway,
now I'm weird. Now I'm weird because I'm not drinking antacid. I didn't even know that ants made acid.
Yeah, that you're telling me an ant. You're telling me a shrimp.
You're telling me an ant made this acid? Get out of town. Having said that, it is strange that bees make honey. Like, there's this old Eddie Izzard gag. You know. We know that bees make honey. Do wasps make chutney? Like, are we checking up on these other animals, you know?
I like that. But no, this is calcium carbonate, which is just chalk, I'm pretty sure, and magnesium carbonate, which is a different kind of chalk. It's just a thing you take.
No idea.
When your tummy's fizzling up into your throat.
Never heard about this. No. I mean, maybe that was too mainstream for my hippy-dippy mum and her home remedies. But was this all you had?
So if you went to the nurse in my secondary school, right?
Okay, here we go. Now we're into school remedies. Go on.
It's like, you're like, oh, my tummy hurts. They'd be like, oh, here's a couple of Rennies and I'll call your mom. If you went and you're like, oh, I have a fever, they're like, oh, yeah, cool. Here's a couple of Rennies, I call your mom. Oh, I sprained my ankle playing football. Oh, that's awful, you poor thing. Here's a couple of Rennies, I'll call your mom. Rennies are not effective for any of those things that aren't heartburn. But I think it's like, it's because you don't need a prescription for it. And I guess they're reluctant to give kids Panadol.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
But they would just fire those down. And in terms
is it the sort of medicine that it doesn't matter how much you take, it's probably not going to.
There is no suggested dose for a Rennie. Yes, you can eat a box.
Whereas, like, if a kid takes a painkiller, one painkiller too many or something like that, there can be, you know, serious consequences or something. So,
but you can eat fistfuls of Rennie.
My sister, my sister's an absolute wild child, right? And when she was a kid, and if she got hurt in any way, it didn't matter where on her body or what the nature of the injury was, if mum put a bandage on her arm, it would make her feel better.
Purely psychological, yeah.
Bump her head, put a bandage on her arm. Yep.
Well, you've heard that thing where if a kid falls over, don't panic, right?
No, you start laughing.
Yeah, exactly. You mock them for their idiocy.
You go, you idiot. You don't have full control of your body. Your gross motor skills are just laughable. Get up, child. Yeah. And then you scream,
true, though,
and then until their teeth fall out, and then, you know,
exactly. If they fall over and you go, oh my god, they panic, they get scared because you're scared.
Yeah. But give us more home remedies, because what I wanted you to do is, I'm trying to give you enough rope so I can absolutely just blow you out of the water when it comes to what my mum did when it came to.
I can't wait for this. Irish home remedies generally. Do you guys drink hot 7 Up or flash 7 Up?
Okay. Like, see, I was about to say you're making this up, but then I realized, like, the stuff that I'm going to say to you, and you're just going to look at me, like, with even more incredulity. So, no. So, 7-Up is it's a type of lemonade, right? Like, it's like Sprite.
It's a lemon and lime drink. It's exactly like Sprite, yeah.
Yes, yeah, okay, sure, yeah.
So, you would drink flat 7-Up if your stomach was upset. And sometimes
just
you would warm
sugar
up.
Water.
Yeah, just sugar water with a lemon flavoring.
Yeah, all right.
I've always been told that settles your stomach, and nothing suggests to me why it would.
No. If anything, I would have thought that, like, I guess if it's flat, but it's just sugar water. What? Okay.
Yeah,
right.
I don't know. Flat 7 Up is a big one.
It's just the soft drink companies around the world being like, how can we move in on the, well,
medicine?
Is there any way we can tap into these other markets somehow?
Right. I'm very curious as to what your mother gave you if you scraped your knee or if you had a tummy ache.
So, listen, I'm just, again, I love my mum very dearly, right? And I have to say that in these days, she certainly is a lot more sensible than she used to be when it comes to just general health and well-being and her approach to, you know, medicine and that sort of stuff. But mum, unfortunately, for a while, was into homeopathy.
Oh, no!
So that's a pretty well-established kind of,
whoa,
you know, nonsense quackery. And there
so
was
would you
thing.
Get would you get would you get a vial of water with the whisper of an onion in it?
Well, so see, it wasn't quite as bad as that, but there was this thing that she used to use called Rescue Remedy, right?
Okay.
And I don't know what was in Rescue Remedy, but if you look it up, you can find it online. You can buy them. It's these tiny little bottles. I would say like 10, 20, 30 mil bottles, right? With little, like an eyedropper.
Yeah.
And you would have two drops of that on your tongue, right? If you were in shock or if you were injured or if you hurt or something bad happened or anything like that. It was a bit of a panacea, but like you wouldn't, you know, it's not like, oh, mom, I broke my leg. Well, a couple of drops of Rescue Remedy, that'll sort you out.
This doesn't even claim to have any medicinal properties. Do you know what it says in the box?
Go on.
Comfort and reassure. It doesn't even claim to have.
Oh, it's real, real hippy dippy. But the thing about Rescue Remedy is it tasted very nice. So it was always the thing, oh, mom, I think I need some Rescue Remedy. She's like, all right, two drops of Rescue Remedy. And it tasted very good. So that was.
Riley, you know, did you know Rescue Remedy is alcoholic?
Oh, geez, I've been on the booze since I was a kid. Is that what it tasted? Actually, you know what? It did. Like, it had that kind of like warm.
Tang, yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's flower essence in a grape alcohol solution.
I've been hitting the booze since I was a little kid then. Mm. Yeah, there you go.
I love this. On Holland & Barrett, which is how you know it's not real medicine, by the way, it's not a pharmacy website.
Yeah.
It says, when should I take Rescue Remedy? Rescue Remedy can be taken whenever you need it. That's not an answer.
It's not really medicine at that point, is it? No. Not really medicine. But look, in fairness to mum, if we had a headache, we get Panadol. If we, you know, you had gastro or something like that, we would have Gastrolite. Well, like she, you know, it's not as if the conventional Western medicine was like banned in the household. But there were like, you know, powdered root extracts and there were, you know, all sorts of, I don't think I ever helped the extinction of, I wasn't having rhino horn in my soup.
Right, but that's like ancient medicine. That's a little different than nonsense home remedies. Like if I got sunburned, my mum would want me to put yogurt on my skin.
No, I don't think shark fin soup and like rhino horn stuff. I don't think there's any medical basis for any of the stuff.
Shark fin soup's illegal, isn't it?
Well, yeah, that's it. Yes, and there's a reason for that. It's because it has no medicinal properties, but it says like, you know, anyway, look.
Have you had shark fin soup?
No, of course I had. That's what I'm saying. Mum wasn't like, she hadn't drunk not the Kool-Aid, but the shark fin soup that led us to be having, you know, really, really out there medical treatment. I'm saying that we still received adequate medical care from mum, who was a nurse, right? So she knew.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, hang on a second. Yeah. But. Well, so what, she didn't give you Rescue Remedy? Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
But there were certain spheres where mum would be like, well, I'll try this instead. At one point, I got an ear infection, right?
Mm-hmm.
Quite a bad one. It was very, I was very, very sore, right? And I couldn't balance. Like I just completely lost my balance, right? Because obviously your inner ear controls your balance for some reason. The human body's just like, balance? Oh, we're out of room in the brain. Just put it somewhere near that, I guess. Are there any holes?
It's weird that that's your inner ear. You've got a little coil of fluid that responds when you tilt. It's odd.
Yeah, they just couldn't find any room for it. So they just put it somewhere near the brain. Anyway, so I had an ear infection and mum treated this by cutting up an onion and using a bandage to strap the onion to the side of my head.
Whoa!
Over the affected ear.
So, okay. Now, when I Google this, I do get to help heal an earache, place a couple of drops of onion juice in the affected ear or half of an onion on top of the affected ear. There you go.
Oh, well, I take it all back. Mum was just following the cutting edge of science here.
I'm going to send you an image here on Discord, Riley. Is this basically what your experience was as a child?
Let's have a look.
Now, if it comes through.
No. See, this child is holding. So Dennis sent me a picture of a small child holding half of an onion.
They actually better be holding a full onion to their head, actually.
Oh, that's not going to work. Even weirder. No, that's not going to work at all. No. So what Mum would do is slice it up sort of like discs, right? So she'd slice it.
Much like the finger potato.
Yes. Like if you were putting onion in a burger, right? But then she used a bandage, like just a regular bandage that presumably she'd nicked from work, and strapped it to the side of my head. And I, at the time, was like, well, that's my mum. My mum knows best. She knows what I'm doing. And then as time went on, I was like, well, that was a very strange thing to do. But now, Dennis, I'm going to have to reevaluate that position. If you're saying that it is appears actually
some credence.
It is a legit. What does it do? How does onion juice help an ear infection? So,
right. This is on gohealthuc.com, which it does not seem. GoHealth. It does not seem like a peer reviewed journal.
GoHealthuck?
Yeah.
Oh, go health.
For centuries, mums have sworn by the cure to a pair of onions.
Okay, well,
while there's no scientific.
Yeah, that's all we need to hear. All right, I'm right back. I was like looking at the exit on the freeway. I'm like, is this where I get off? No, keep driving. Nope, stay in my lane.
So it does justify it later, but I misread the sentence early. It says, while there's no scientific evidence behind their effectiveness, onions do contain chemicals. There is a comma that says, like flavonoquistin that have anti-inflammatory properties. But I thought it said, while there is no evidence, onions do contain chemicals. There's stuff in there. You never know. Some of it could help.
Some of it could help. I mean, yeah. I mean, most things do contain chemicals of one nature. I do enjoy that when people are like, oh, I just don't like chemicals in my food. It's like, what do you enjoy eating then? Antimatter?
Yeah.
But Dennis, the reason I bring up the onion thing, not only was it a very notable instance of... Like, again, I do really want to make clear that my mum did a very good job of looking after me. Like when I, for example, sliced my leg open when Zach Goyenechea threw me off the side of a cliff when I was 12.
Always right? Full names every time. What did you grow up in a Stephen King story? What did he threw off a cliff?
We were at Zach's place. It was him and me and Billy. I was going to say Billy Madison, but that probably isn't his last name.
No, probably not.
And there was a big park sort of, almost like a, I think it's Bundoora Parklands. If you've ever been to northeastern Melbourne, you'll know what I'm talking about. And there are cliffs that were, I don't know, in my head they were very big, but I was a kid, so they probably weren't that big. And we were taking in turns to jump / throw each other off the sides of these cliffs. And I got pushed or jumped off or whatever. I don't know. The memory's a bit hazy, to be honest, and ripped my leg open on a tree branch that was sticking out like a thing just scooped. I still got the scar. And, you know, when that happened, Mum wasn't like, a bit of rescue. Well, actually, you know, I probably did suck down a fair bit of rescue remedy that day.
Probably did. Take the edge off.
But also went to the hospital, and because the anesthetic didn't work, had my first experience with laughing gas.
I
remember this so distinctly. Well, the anesthetic just wouldn't work. I don't know what it was, but I don't know if it was blood loss or what it was, but like the anesthetic just
wouldn't
work.
Well, you probably had too much. You built too high a tolerance off years of rescue remedy, I'd say.
That's it, right? So, the doctor's like, we have to stitch it up. Half his leg's missing. And so they got laughing gas out and I took it and I remember going really silly and I started reciting lines from my school play, which was a retelling of the Odyssey. And I can still remember the words. Arise, Odysseus. Is it something that wraps thee round? Behold the wonder of thy folk. Thy feet once more on solid ground. And I started reciting this and I remember the nurse like giggling because I obviously looked like such an idiot. Anyway, my point is that Mum did take very good care of us. And when we needed actual serious medical attention, we went to the hospital. She wasn't all about cut up onions and rescue remedy. But the reason I bring up the onion is because we went to Luna Park, which is a theme park, right? Like, so roller coaster and sort of stuff. And Dennis, you must be this high to ride. And
did you just tilt your head to the side, get a little couple inches off the onion?
The bandage was so bulky over the top of my head that when I put my beanie on the top of that in the Melbourne winter, I cleared the you must be this tall to ride, and I probably wouldn't have had I not had the bandage.
A half a goddamn onion on your head.
And the onion, obviously, exactly. I mean, the onion wasn't on the top of my head. It wasn't like a... You know how Sikh boys have the sort of the turban that doesn't quite have the full wrap around it? They've just got the little sort of knob of hair on the top. That wasn't the position of the onion. It was over my ear. But still, I was able to get on the ride at Luna Park and I wouldn't have been able to. So look, honestly, all upside. Mum's, I was getting on the sauce nice and early, you know, onion in my ear.
All I'm learning here is if you, there's a cocktail to be made of rakia and rescue remedy, I think, that'd cure whatever ailed you.
Yeah, no matter what it is, it'll take care of you.
Riley, I want to talk to you about something tangentially related.
Oh, so you're going to have another topic now, are you? You're going to double dip. You have a second topic. Okay, go.
I'm going back in. So what happens is sometimes you feel a little sick, right? Mm-hmm. And there's all the physical symptoms that go along with that. Like my stomach hurts right now. I had a fever yesterday and stuff. But aside from all of that, you just kind of feel gross. You know, you feel not yourself. And I don't necessarily mean, like, even after you shower, you just feel, not all there. And a little bit of personal grooming care can go a long way in that kind of situation, really.
Are you saying the greatest home remedy of all is the
available at manscaped.com? I think it is. Coupon code HALTT. I think if you took some crop preserver, and please don't do this, never mind. We'll get in trouble if I suggest you put it external use only, please. Never mind.
This is, Dennis, very much what Manscaped is all about. This was a big part of the talking points that they gave us that we have then gone on and just ignored.
Yes.
The fact that self-care and grooming, it's not just about having a perfectly smooth nutsack. It's about taking care of yourself and looking
after
yourself.
It's a holistic approach, exactly.
And being the best version of yourself. And I know what you mean. Like, you feel gross. Sometimes even you come out of the shower, you're feeling sick and you just need to spruce yourself up a little bit. And Dennis, sometimes there's nothing better for that than the use of extremely high quality personal grooming equipment, such as what is made by Manscaped and available now at manscaped.com. Coupon code HALTT. If you've gone to manscaped.com and you've been like, wow, these products, they do look fantastic, but that price tag, get out of here.
That price tag is like 20% too high for me.
I would not pay a penny less than 20% less than what that, and shipping, I'm not paying for shipping in 2022.
No,
absolutely not. I'm not paying for shipping. A mug's game paying for shipping. Well, I've got good news for you, because with the coupon code HALTT, you can get 20% off and free shipping from anything at the manscaped.com shop. And you'll be helping the podcast out in a huge way, because you'll be basically telling them, Manscaped, that these ads work. And we put a lot of effort into these ads, Dennis. We put a lot of effort
I gave myself a massive fever just asking to talk about it for the Manscaped ad this week.
That's it. Going out there licking bus seats. I mean, they said, right, we don't want you to talk about the product unless you've got it. We want you to give a real like, Dennis got sick so he would know what it was like to shave his nuts after he'd, you know, contracted an enormous fever. And Dennis, how was that experience for you?
Enlightening.
Yeah, I bet.
Truly freshening. I did have the worst experience yesterday, where you get out of the shower and you're like, oh, I feel better. And because I have a still food poisoning, I'm like, I have to go to the bathroom. It's going to undo all the better I feel.
Yes. Yeah.
Awful. You know what's not awful, though? Manscaped.com.
I bet that's what they were really hoping for with this ad, is just a veiled look at your bodily functions while you're in the midst of a fever. So thank you very much, Manscaped.com, for sponsoring this show for the last month. It really has been a pleasure to have you on board. And without sounding too desperate, please, please take us back, because it's been great to talk about your products. And hopefully you've seen the bump in sales that you were hoping off of this show. And if you haven't, well, it's not our fault. It's the listeners for not bloody getting out there and using coupon code HALTT. Get there. Honestly, like, we can dress this up for gags and laughs all you want. My quality of life has improved since I've started using these products. I don't know if you're really supposed to. I don't know if the lawnmower's primary use should be your face, but I now just don't shave my face with anything else. And I heard what Dennis said before about having one for each end, so maybe I'll take advantage of my own coupon code to do that. But I have to say, like, without a shred of irony, these products have made my life more enjoyable. They've made just like personal grooming easier and less of a chore. Dennis, do you want more of a treat? Dennis, do you have, what's your experience with it?
Genuinely, like, we talked a little bit about how practicing self-care and how these are holistic products are true, and it does set you up well for the day when you take a little bit of time to take care of yourself and pay attention to how you feel and how you look. And Manscaped is just a cool, very high quality way to do that while supporting a podcast that you love, or at least have tolerated for about a half hour now.
Yeah, exactly right. So coupon code HALTT, get yourself the performance package, get the lawnmower, the weed whacker.
Or anything else. Doesn't have to be performance package. I think the ablutions are really good.
Sure. I'm very heartily recommending that, because I think it's a very, very good very, very good value for what you get.
It is.
They're checking in all sorts of extras. We got undies with ours as well, and like ball deodorant and stuff. So very, very strongly recommend it. It's been great to partner with Manscaped.com for the last couple of weeks. Long way the partnership continue. Hopefully. We'll see how we go. But it's been great. It really has. So thanks very much for supporting the show, Manscaped. And thank you to all the listeners who are out there using the coupon code. But Dennis, we've talked about something that people should do on the internet, which is go to Manscaped.com and use the coupon code for 20% off. Now I want to talk to you about things that we used to do on the internet and are probably very glad we don't do anymore. I don't know what it is. I used to do this a lot when I streamed. I don't know if it's a catharsis or just a need to get this off my chest, but for some reason I enjoy talking about the very embarrassing things that I did when I was a teenager.
There is some sort of like comforting nostalgic cringe to it, right?
But that's the thing. All I do is make myself cringe, but for some reason I willfully seek out opportunities to do this. And I was like, I remembered a story. I remembered something that happened. So I was like, I've got to tell Dennis about this on the podcast this week, right? But okay. I don't know why. All I'm doing is like lowering myself in the view of our listeners. Certainly. They're not looking at this and be like, well, that Riley, he's a cool guy. So I want to talk to you about embarrassing things that we did when...
What age were you when you first got access, unbridled access to the internet?
Like 12, I would say. 12, 13.
Yes. I was probably a little bit younger, but yeah. Very similar.
Right. And It was a wild west, man. Like, this was what? This
it
was,
really was.
This was 2001, man. Like, Netscape Navigator was an option if you wanted to. If you
were asking Jeeves for help.
Cyberspace, exactly, right? Like, AltaVista was not used as an ironic alternative to Google. It was just like, you'd go to yahoo.com to search for something. You wouldn't go to Google. What's Google? That's a very stupid name for a search engine. They should change that.
As opposed to Yahoo.
Yeah, oh, much better, right? Anyway, I've told you my first email address, right?
I don't know that you have.
The first ever email address that I, you know, I mean.
I think you did, because I think I told you a girl in my ear had sexy tomato, but what was yours?
Mine was the letter R. So we're off to a good start. That's the first letter of my name, R, right?
So far on track, yeah.
Yeah, underscore. I've gone off underscores in later life, but I used them earlier on in my career on the internet. R underscore, and you might think, well, what's coming next? Very professional, the age of 12? What is it, knight? No. Cool.
Okay.
And just because people would probably have a very hard time figuring out that I was a 12-year-old on the internet, I thought I'd give them some help by making the last bit of the internet, the last bit of the email address, 89.
rcool89.
r_cool89@hotmail.com. And I stuck with that email address for longer than I should have.
Really, I had El Culo Magnifico for a very long time.
So not only wildly embarrassing, but also wildly impractical. How are you spelling that? Sorry,
ELCOOLO Magnifico.
So El Culo, not El Coolio.
No, well, El Cool Magnifico is a Coolio album, but it's totally unrelated.
Oh wow, was this before or after you had the email address?
I don't know.
You got to talk to a lawyer. You got to have him over a barrel for this one.
Yeah.
You got to
have no idea.
But I think, oh man, just thinking about some of the stuff that I did. So like, I used to get very involved in, like, if I played online games, a bunch of online games I used to play, and I'd go to the forums and I'd be very active on these forums. And
which forums would you go to?
In terms of what, like the actual, like the individual message boards on the forums, or like for, it was just for whatever online game I was playing at the time.
Because Riley, I was all about Newgrounds, dude.
Oh sure, no, like individual, like Neopets, right? Like the Neopets forums, right? Or like Carnage Club Blender was a game that I played for a while. Very fond memories of Carnage Blender. That was good fun. But they all had to be text based. I had dial up internet, and I couldn't. Newgrounds just wasn't really an option for me because it took about half an hour to load a flash game, right? So it was all text based games. But I remember, like, oh, man, I don't remember all the details, but I remember on one of the forums, and I'm not going to say which game it was for because I'm pretty sure, I mean, nothing, the internet doesn't forget anything. And I'm pretty sure that these posts will probably be there for someone to dig up. I constructed an entire second identity to talk to my other account.
Uh-oh.
On this forum. And I still don't really know why I did it. Like, so I had my account and I'd post stuff and whatever else. And then I would use my other account to react to it or comment to it or say stuff. And it's just like, even, why am I talking? Like, why do I, what? I could have talked about anything. This podcast can be literally about anything I want. And I'm talking about how I made, and like the guy had a name and a backstory.
So would you be having a dialogue between the two of you?
Yes, I would log in and out of like this, and to talk to each other. They had the same birthday. The other one, his name was Chris. He was a bit older. He was 14 and he was very cool. He skateboarded and he had like a cool scar and stuff.
Dude,
no, don't
what?
Laugh at me. Don't laugh at me. I regret. And okay, I'm going to make it worse because, you know, on these forums, right? Like you could have a signature, like a little thing.
Yeah, right.
So the first signature I made was, so I named my forum account after one of the characters in the game that I was playing, and I just decided, well, I'll put a picture of that character as my signature. That'll be cool. The picture was like, you know, 800 pixels long.
Yep.
So I put that in, and then was very angry when a mod edited my signature because I didn't realize you were able to do that, removing it. I was like, well, I like that picture, put it back in. And he's like, no, it's too big, because every time I posted there would people have to scroll past the picture. But what I did later, Dennis, and this is so much worse, is later on I had, because lots of people had quotes in their signature,
Of course.
Right. Now, would you like to guess who I think I was maybe 13 at this stage. Would you like to guess? I had a quote from someone in my signature. Would you like to guess who I had quoted in my signature?
My bets are a band or like Richard Dawkins.
No, no. My Dawkins phase came along a little later, and I was insufferable, but certainly in a different way. When I really like started
Fight
waking
Club,
up to, like,
maybe.
You're way off, dude. You're way off.
No, who was it?
When I tell you the answer, you're going to go, of course. It was me.
What was it? What?
Yep. I had a signature with a quote, and then I was in the quotation marks and everything, right? It wasn't just like a little saying that I'd put in there that I like. I put quotation marks around it, and then at the end I had a little dash, and then I had the word me next to it.
You must have been insufferable.
At the time, at the time, I just wasn't aware of it, right? But like thinking back, if I had to interact with someone like that on the internet now, I'd just be like, oh my God, like, can't.
Well, all BBS forums, like, dude, like, I was on Newgrounds and I had a signature, I had a quote, all that stuff. Thousands, thousands, thousands of posts. I wrote a story once on the forum, right? Yeah, just like some fiction,
so you
right?
You were deep in there, just like me, right? But
I wrote a story over a couple of forum posts that people seemed to quite like. And then one guy on Newgrounds was like, hey, I think this is really cool. Do you want me to animate it for you? And I was like, sure. And he made like a 15-minute animation of like the first chapter of the story. And it exists and it's still out there. And I was like, sick. So, like, I was very much in there, too. I remember, did you have Bebo in Australia? Was that a big part of your...
No.
Or was it more of a UK and Ireland thing?
Like, MSN Messenger was what we used mainly.
Bebo was like Facebook.
Oh, no, never used that, no.
So, Bebo was like Facebook, but it was much more like MySpace, actually, that you could customize your own page quite a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And Bebo went away when I was, I don't know, 14 or so, really. But you could make custom skins, and it would involve like using Photoshop and like getting like image, like there was a certain number of images you had to make that had to be a certain size and all this stuff.
Yeah. And then you had to put it all in HTML and all that. Yeah.
Exactly.
I remember that from MySpace.
So I made myself a skin. I'm fairly certain it was a Metal Gear Solid skin.
Yep. Good. On brand.
But then I would like the girls in my school that I knew, I'd be like, oh, I know how to make a skin. Like, oh my God, could you make me one? I'm like, this is going to be what gets me to date this girl, is that I make her a slick Bebo skin.
Yeah, slick Bebo skin. You're going to be straight in there. You're going to be taking her to the movies and like doing that weird thing where you go, oh, and yawn and pretend. And then she like shifts away like, okay, no, I'm not going to do that. No, never mind.
Exactly the same thing as MySpace, where you had all your top, you had all your friends list, right? And you had your top 16 friends. And posts.
I want to jump in here really quickly and tell you something that I'm actually quite proud of. From my time with MySpace in its early days. So I got on MySpace probably when I was around 16, maybe 17. It must have been 16. And I was very, very proud of my approach to top friends, because I thought it was, and I still do, I thought it was absolute bullshit. I thought, like, the politics of top friends at school, I hated it, right? And so initially I was like, oh, you know, I put my mates in school and that sort of thing. And they're like, actually, you know what? I hate this because people are doing this. Oh, this person didn't put me in theirs, but I'm in this. Like, I just hated it. So I figured out how to replace all the top friends. And Dennis, I replaced all the top friends, like using HTML. I replaced all my top friends with one person. And would you like to guess who this person is? And I'll give you a clue. It is the same answer as a previous person I asked you.
Oh, no!
I did. And I thought, you know what? No, stuff it. Like, it's actually really, it's a really terrible, awful, like,
I agree.
Toxic wedge driving thing to do between friends. And I was like, no, I just put four of my own face on it. And I was like, I'm all of my top friends, it's me. Let's go.
People used to have an other half option, which would appear right at the top of your profile, right?
Yeah.
So it was a place for you to put your best friend, right?
Oh, yeah.
So it was like a zero, it was like an S plus tier of the top friends, right?
Yeah. It's the meta knight of friends. Yeah.
Exactly. But so I think I had Darren in there for a long time.
Yeah.
But then Darren Riley. Yeah, if one of you gets a girlfriend,
they're
going to want that top spot.
Yeah, of course they are. Absolutely they are. Of course they are. Naturally. It's their territory.
And then if you break up with that girlfriend, you're scrambling. Maybe Darren's going to offend another half in that time.
Yeah. Yeah. Awful. Well, the only solution is HTML to put yourself in every single one of them, and then that's fine. Done.
Your fictional friend Chris didn't make an appearance, no?
No, he was killed off. He was killed off early in the show. I have to say, he got in a bus. I was very glad to be be rid of him. Anyway, so what happened with the Bebo skins? Did you manage to did you take
I
any,
know, no, of course no, I
any
did not,
dames
no,
down
I did not,
to the diner and buy him a malt shake after that? No?
No, I did not get to go study with any girls because I made Bebo skins despite my best efforts. I did. There was a time when on a Metal Gear Solid fan forum, I wrote some Metal Gear Solid fan fiction one time.
Was it good? Was it well received?
I'm sure it was pretty well received. Yeah, I'm sure it was fine.
So to the listener at home, I'm going to reveal something now. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about how Dennis and I might start sharing the topic ahead of time, just so we've got something prepared, right?
Yeah.
And so I messaged Dennis earlier on today, checking when he was okay to record that sort of stuff. I'm like, hey, man, here's my topic. I'm going to talk about some embarrassing stuff I did when I was like a kid on the internet. And he's like, yeah, sure, no worries. I'll think of some stuff. And now he's just coming and telling us how cool he was with his Bebo skins and his animated short stories. And
none of those things are cool.
What are you talking about? Dennis, I quoted myself in my own forum signature, and that's what I'm bringing to the table, and you're talking about how
you
had some Metal Gear Solid fan fiction that was well received.
Yeah, but you're coming out here with, I wasn't ready for this. I didn't think you'd be like so narcissistic and come nuclear armed here. I was my own best friend. Like, I was not ready for this.
I stand by that. I don't think that was embarrassing. I think that was next level, man. I stand by the putting myself.
The top friends, you were kind of making a statement. And I suppose with the forum quote, you're also making a statement. That statement just was, I'm a douchebag.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
What was the quote?
What was it? Oh, no, I've remembered. No, don't make me say it. No.
Please. Oh, he remembered. No, this is how we uncover Ronnie's humiliation.
You have to say something legitimately embarrassing about what you did on the internet when you were young. Otherwise, I'm not trading you the actual quote here because...
that's fair enough. I can't think what I did.
It was so bad. I still remember.
I wrote some poetry.
Here we go. That's good. All right. Okay. Tell me about this.
I wrote some poetry, including some poetry about girls I liked.
Okay. Well, this has the potential to either sort of be, you know... child prodigy, ahead of his time.
I was pretty talented at poetry when I was a kid, but that's not the point. The point is, I wrote this when I was, 13, right? Mm. Let's say. And then my friends discovered it when I was like 17.
Oh, no.
And they would start quoting it. They'd start, they'd print it out and read it to me. And I had to go, I went back and wiped it all. I was like, this has to be purged from the annals of history.
But that's the worst time possible. Because in 4 years' time, right, if they find it 4 years later, you can be like, you can laugh with them. But at 17?
Yeah. Oh, it's crucial, dude. It was really bad.
You're at your most
vulnerable. One time, this isn't internet related, but one time in secondary school. No, in primary school. So I must have been 11 or something.
Mm.
We had to write a story about our greatest hero.
Okay.
And mine was my mum.
That's cute. I like that.
And I brought it, and it was in my pocket after school, and it fell out when I was at my mate's house playing PlayStation, and the boys found it.
But hang on, didn't you read? Oh, no, because they all went to different schools, didn't they? So you didn't read it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't read it.
No.
Oh, no.
That was pretty brutal. That was pretty unfortunate.
So that was Darren and Andy and...
Yeah, James and stuff. And yeah, James. That was pretty rough. Ugh. So very, very lame poetry. Well, you know how poetry is when you're a kid. It's like being a member of the early Beatles. Once you realize that glad rhymes with sad, you're off to the races, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, once knees and please. Yeah.
Now you're cooking. It was truly, truly awful stuff. One time a guy did pay me on like Fiverr to write a Valentine's Day poem for his girlfriend, though, and claim it was his own.
You were hustling hard, man.
Oh, yeah.
You were hustling hard. You had that, what was it, the Guild Wars 2 guide?
Guild Wars Review guide, going.
You had a whole lot of stuff going. I was just annoying people on the Carnage Blender forums. That wasn't where I had quoted myself. I will take the name of this game to my grave. I'm not telling, because it'll be there. It'll be there. And I'm not going to give you a direct quote of what I wrote. I'm going to tell you it, but I'm going to paraphrase it, because otherwise I can remember the exact wording.
Okay, but you have to do it. Okay.
I'm not going to tell people because then they'll put it in quotation marks in Google and I bet it'll come up. So, oh man. I think I was 13 or 14. And I must have been 13. And I just discovered like basic philosophy books at the library, at the public library. And I don't know, I found like a Miles Davis CD and I was listening to that and I was reading poetry, reading philosophy, and I was just getting ready to turn into just like a fully fledged, insufferable, awful nerd, which I was for a while, and now I'm just a slightly less insufferable nerd.
Mm-hmm.
But reading about like the way that philosophers have contended with good and evil and truth and beauty and all the rest of it, right? And I was like, yeah. So I took a bunch of their ideas basically, and not, I guess I tried to just pass them off as my own or something. I don't really know what I was doing, man, but like basically I was, there's a level of edge to it, and I was, the quote was something along the lines of, there is no good, nor is there evil. There is only one's perspective.
Oh, and God!
It was just like, you know, like classic Reddit, I'm 14 and this is deep type stuff, right? And I just And then I remember, we are actually out of time, Dennis. We are all.
I can sense a morsel beyond the pale here. What's going on?
I know you're not feeling well, man. So are you okay? Like we can wrap it up.
No, I'll be good. Let's do another minute or so, and we'll wrap it up. Just
with the philosophy thing, right? I think I did try to pass it off as my own because I remember reading Zeno's Paradoxes, right? So you know, one of Zeno's paradoxes is like, if you fire an arrow, it will never reach its destination because first it has to travel half the way, but to travel half the way, it has to travel a quarter of the way, and it has to travel an eighth of the way, and a 16th of the way, 32nd of the way, all the way down. And you can keep on infinitely dividing how far, like how many fractions that the arrow has to pass. And
that's how limits work in mathematics.
Right. I don't fully understand it. Didn't then, don't now. But I then posted on the forum about how I had thought up this paradox, right? And all these people are like, yeah, this is Zeno's paradox. It's been around for literally millennia. And I was like, well, I've never heard of Zeno. I don't know who that is. I just thought of it myself. I don't know what you're talking about.
Wow. Oh, if you drop a rock off of a cliff, the rock will never hit the bottom because first it has to go half the way.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, it's just, I just had this thought. Anyway, just to not want to know what you guys thought, just had this little idea. And people are like, yeah, this has been around for a long time. And I was like, no, that's mine. It's mine. It's a right and out original. And then, you know, got into my alt and I was like, you know, Chris, oh, wow, Ryder, you're so smart. That's an incredible observation. Well done, dude.
But you didn't go by Chris and Ryder this one. You thought you were named after these video game characters.
No, but he had a backstory. Like, he had this whole backstory that I sorted out. His name was Chris, and, like, you know, he lives on in our memories, Dennis, and the few short... I didn't actually keep him around for that long because it was a pain in the ass to keep logging in and out.
I am desperate to find this form.
I know you are, and that's why... I'm usually, you know, Zach Goy and Shearer, throw him right under the bus, just like he threw me off a cliff at Mundura Parklands when I was 12. But I'm not... I know that you will hunt to the end of your days, right? There is one, like Dennis, there is one picture of me in existence wearing a fedora. One picture, right? And you know when I used to stream? People, craved the picture, right? Everyone wants to see the picture of me in a fedora. But there's no way, like I'm never showing anyone this picture, ever. Because once it's out there, that's it. It's out there forever. So no, I'm not telling you the name of this game that I used to play. You're not going to drag it out of me. And you will never find these forum posts that I hope... I hope that with all the possible respect for the game developers and whoever else was involved in it, I hope the game failed horribly, ran out of money for server costs, and everything crashed and burned and died out.
Well, what's it called? Let's look it up.
You know what, Dennis? I will. In the privacy of my own home and time, I'm not telling you the name of it. I like you, my very dear friend, Dennis, and I'm very, very fond of you, but I absolutely... Like, I probably would trust you with my life... But I definitely don't trust you with my forum handles. Text-based
online game was released 2002. Only way to be possible.
See if you can find it.
I'll find it.
Oh, I'll find it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Have a Listen to This, your weekly dose of bite-sized nonsense with Riley Knight and Dennis Treniak. If you like the show, please tell your friends about it. If you didn't like it, I guess tell them anyway, but hopefully they download it and they like it. Or if they don't, those downloads show up just the same, to be honest. If you really like the show, you head to patreon.com/havealistentothis and support the show. Get the show a little bit early as well as some other exclusive perks and, you know, help us keep the lights and the mics on over here.